Real people. Real opinions. Real talk radio. The multi-award winning Niall Boylan Show. Ireland's classic
hits. Hiya, Niall.
Hiya.
Long time listener, first time messenger. Here, so I hope this message is okay. I really need your listeners' advice and experiences with a touchy subject in my house at the moment. My husband has ridden a motorbike since he was 16 years of age, long before I knew him. As he got older, it became more of a hobby than a primary way of travel. This was a huge relief to me, as I was always nervous when he was out on the bike in the weather. Our son is now 19 and is looking to start driving. Because his dad has been riding a bike, then the bike was normalised in our house when he was growing up, he's decided that he wants to learn to ride a bike instead of driving a car. I'm completely horrified by this. All I see lately is horror stories of the accidents that people are having on motorbikes and the injuries they get. Obviously, he grew up around bikes and all of his dad's friends that ride bikes, but that still doesn't make me feel it's any better. He's never been on a bike and his dad has never felt comfortable letting him on the bike. My husband is also keen on the idea, or isn't keen on the idea, but he feels like a hypocrite telling him that he can't do it. So it's hard for him to disagree. My son says that it's a much better option and it's much quicker to get a license and bikes are cheaper to buy and run than a car. I'd actually rather pay for his car for the next few years than let him go on a bike, but he thinks I'm being completely over the top. He's our only child and I've been having nightmares since the conversation started. I can't stand the thought of him being on a motorbike or in an accident. Don't get me wrong, I know people crash cars all the time, but at least they're a little bit safer and they're strapped in a car rather than being completely exposed on a bike. Niall, what do I do? Am I being overprotective, not letting him do it, or am I right, not wanting to be riding bikes? I rode motorbikes. I used to race motorbikes at one stage in my life, motocross racing. I did sidecar racing, all between the ages of about 16 and 22, and then I got it out of my system, and I haven't ridden a bike in 30 years. My mother used to wait up at night, and when I think back now, I feel so bad. I feel so guilty about what I did, because I would arrive home at 1 o'clock in the morning at 21 or 22 years of age. You know, the bike would not have thought in the world for the fact that my mother was staying up late because she was worried sick that I wouldn't come home. In those days, we didn't have mobile phones. And she was so worried about me on the bike. And maybe I didn't take into consideration the worry she had. But they are dangerous. There's no doubt about it. They are clearly more dangerous than a car. But they do say that bike drivers or bike riders, generally speaking, I'm talking about the responsible ones, not the lunatics that drive around that we've seen in fields. I'm talking about responsible bike riders are generally better riders than car people driving cars. They're more observant. They tend to be in less accidents. But when they are in an accident, it's usually very bad news. So what does this mother do? How did she discourage her son from driving a motorbike? Or should she discourage him? Is that the wrong way to approach this? The number is 087-188-0008. That's 087-188-0008. Should she discourage her son? And how does she do it if she's going to? 087-188-0008 is the WhatsApp or text number. Lisa, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Lisa?
Hiya, Niall. How are you?
Good, Lisa. So, I mean, do you discourage? Or is that the wrong way to approach this?
No, you can't, Niall. Look, I have three kids. And as they were growing, and even now, of course they do things that I'm like, oh God, I might, you know. But you know, you just worry about them all the time.
Mm.
But you have to let them take risks as well. You can't stop them living their lives just because you're afraid.
Yeah.
You know, it's not fair. And in that situation, you know, the best I think she could do is maybe pay for a safety course and ask him, what do you do that for?
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
Just to kind of, you know, just get a bit of a little bit of comfort knowing that he's done that. Do you know, that's kind of the only thing he can do. We all want to wrap him up in cotton wool. And I know he's more vulnerable on a motorbike than in a car. But do you know what? They're even more vulnerable when they're crossing the roads. Do you know, there's no helmet then. And people get knocked down, sadly. Accidents happen and you just end up living on your nerves if you worry about... I know as my kids have grown anyway, you know, and they're different, the range of ages, your worries change and you tend to... They alleviate a little bit, you know, as each one does different things. Because you can kind of... Yeah, well, he got through that, she got through that, you know.
Yeah.
But it's very, very hard. It really is. But you can't stop them living just because you're afraid. You know, it's not fair.
But... But you could try and discourage, and as she said, she's willing to pay for a car, probably for a couple of years. So that's how desperate she is. Because, Lisa, I remember doing this to my own mother. And when I look back now, I regret it so much that I worried the life out of her.
Oh, Niall, we all did.
My mother sat up. I mean, in those days, that would have been unheard of. My mother sat up to 2 and 3 in the morning sometimes, waiting for me to come home. And I'd wander into the house thinking, ah, she's just awake on the couch. You know what I mean?
No, she was sitting worrying. But, I mean, that woman could buy her son a car. Imagine how she'd feel if she discouraged him from the bike and, God forbid, he had a crash in the car. But the chances are less, obviously. But there's more car accidents than motorbike accidents.
But that's because there's more cars on the road. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? Like, you have to think of that as well. If she did discourage him and say he had an accident in the car, then she's going to feel absolute shit altogether. So there's no winning with kids. They're animals now. We all know that. You never get peace with kids.
I point out, it's generally not little girls that give mammies these problems. It's generally boys. Boys have to get this kind of stuff out of their system, don't they?
They do. And then just the other, you know, there's other worries with girls too. You know, you won't get a boy going out dressed provocatively and all that, so you won't worry about that.
There's different worries with the different gender.
It's a different set of worries. Forget about it when you have kids. People think, oh, when they're 18, it's all over. No, it's not. It's not over. I'm sorry for anyone listening who thinks,
yeah, they consume you.
There's a time limit on this crap. There's not. It's forever till you're dead, and that's it.
Yeah. They consumes you completely for life.
Yeah, totally.
Stay there, because Marion, you're on Ireland's Classic Kids. Marion, you found a way.
I did find a way, Niall. I did. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you. How did you find a way to turn them off the idea?
Well, he wanted a bike, and you see, my very, very first boyfriend, 40 years ago, while Noah was building an ark, I was going out with a guy that had a Honda 125, and I thought I was God. But anyway, on the back of that bike. But we're still friendly.
A Honda 125, it was hardly Barry Sheen material, but go on.
I'm telling you, but you could still fall off it. But anyway, so my son, who's into roller coasters, nothing phases this guy. And he wanted a bike a couple of years ago. So I rang my old boyfriend, and I said, meet me in Clare Galway. I said, bring it for a spin and don't spare it. And he did. And about half hour later, the guys come back, and my son said to me, oh my God, that was the worst thing I ever did in my life.
So he put him on the back of the bike and went bonkers, like?
Went, bought him for Spain, yeah.
Oh, right. Scared the life out of him.
Yeah, but he was a good driver now.
Oh yeah, of course.
So it actually frightened him. So now, but actually the guy, my son is now living in Rome, where they all drive like lunatics in cars anyway, so maybe a bike would have been a better option. But anyway,
that's
how I solved it, yeah.
That's not a bad idea, is it? Well, maybe it's a slightly irresponsible idea, but it's still not a bad idea. Lisa?
It wasn't. Yeah. Now, my husband had been on bikes all his life in America. And like that, I was on the bike over in America, but it happened one time to come off and didn't really get hurt. But we came off the bike and it kind of scared me. And I thought, oh, no, come on, you have kids.
How did you come off a bike and not get hurt?
We were in a field. We went to a balloon festival and the bike skidded and landed on top of us. And people were more concerned about him standing up, even though I was on the ground with the bike over me.
Oh, well, at least it was grass. Yeah, so it wasn't too bad.
It was grass. It was muck. I'm used to it.
Are you from a farming community, Marion?
I am, surely. And, you know, but even when I see a bike pass me out now on the road, you think, oh, my God, you know, it's not natural. Yeah.
What's worse is when I've been away in America, right, and I see... say for example in Florida, where they don't have laws around helmets, you don't have to wear it. And no, I do understand that because of the heat and everything else. But I mean, I see a guy and he's all tattooed and he's driving the bike, and the girlfriend is on the back in a bikini.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, are these people mad?
Yep, we happened to see that one time in some place, not in New Jersey, but it's called a town called New Hope. And like that, there's no laws on helmets and your bike gear or anything to protect your elbows or your knees or anything. And you come off a bike with nothing, no gear on you.
All you have is skin between you and the tarmac. You're finished.
Exactly. Yeah. And what you do is you push the bike away from you, apparently, and wait where you are.
Well, yeah. Okay.
No, I'd rather not have to do it. Thank you very much.
Okay, so Lisa, that's not a bad idea. Get a friend to put them on the back of a bike and drive like a lunatic. But provided the friend is responsible, by the way.
Yes, it's very responsible.
Yeah, sorry, Lisa. It's a good idea, Lisa, isn't it?
I suppose, but I just don't think. I think it's unfair for us to project our fears onto our kids.
Why? That's our job as a parent, isn't it?
No, not to project fears onto them. To protect them, yeah, but not to project fears. Just because you're terrified something will happen to them If that's the case, Niall, you'd never let them out the door. Never.
Stay there just for a second, the two of you. Kevin, you're on Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you doing, Kevin?
Hi, in Ireland. Like yourself, I'm a poacher turned preacher, as I describe myself.
Okay, so you drove them at one stage to yourself?
Yeah, there's a heap of them here, and I got my young fella. I don't ride them anymore, and I got him a scrambler, 125 scrambler, for living on a farm. Just try and teach him. He has all my gear from when I was motocrossing and that.
Yeah.
And just educate him and show him a bit of mechanical end of it for safety, what to look out for.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice hobby, by the way, yeah, from that point of view. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but, you know, I've lots of friends who are not with us anymore.
Yeah. That's the sad part, isn't it, yeah?
Yeah, there's that element to it, yeah.
So did you manage to deter him from wanting to do it, you know?
No, he wants to go to a track now.
Oh, gee.
But he's only got about 2 hours up on the bike. I said, you can't wheelie, you can't skid it, you can't do anything. You have to be able to do all that. But teach him the helmet has to be strapped. It's no good on your head. It's not strapped. Wear your gloves, body armour. I don't know.
It's no good if it doesn't fit you properly or it's not the right type of helmet either.
Thing, yeah, if it's out of date, anything, But that's all I'd say to that woman. Just try and get someone. I'd know one to help me, educate me when I started at them. And I had a 750 at 19 on a provisional license. It was lunacy back then.
I know. I was the same. I was driving a Kawasaki 750, or I can't remember what it was. It was something mental, I can't remember. And I was, you know, it was with the old days where you didn't need a license.
Yeah. They hockeyed you on the insurance, the old Carol Nash back then.
Oh, was Norwich Union I was insured.
Norwich Union,
yeah. Oh, we were very bold, you know. It was five or six of us, and we'd get one insurance policy between the whole lot of us. It was in those days you didn't have a photograph on a driver's license. It was completely irresponsible.
It was madness, yeah.
Oh, madness.
There were four of us, but there's only three now, you know.
Yeah, I know. I have friends who died on motorbikes too. I had a couple who were a friend of mine, and the two of them were killed. She was on the back of his bike, and they were killed. You know.
Yeah, the injuries on the motocrossers, as you know, are smaller but more frequent. But on the road bikes, I mean, everything's doing...
Motocross is safe enough. A few broken bones here and there, hopefully that'll be the end of it. But, you know, collarbones usually.
Ribs and collarbones,
But in saying that, very few people actually get killed, thankfully.
But
on the road is where your real problem is.
And cars just don't see it. There's no ads, really. There should be part of your driving licence.
Yeah.
That you know... what motorbikes are capable of. I know you shouldn't be doing 300 kilometres an hour on a public road, but unfortunately lads do. The bikes are capable
I wasn't 300 kilometres an hour, but probably close enough. I've done that silly stuff when I was, when I was in my 20s, my early 20s. I stopped. The last time I was on a motorbike, I was always pulling wheelies. I used to pull wheelies. I had an LC350, and I had
the Widowmaker.
Yeah, and I used to pull wheelies at 70 miles an hour, 70 miles an hour. And I saw these girls at a bus stop one day, and I pulled a wheelie at about 60, 70 miles an hour, and I fell off the bike. Me foot got caught in the footrest, and I ended up with the skin off me arse. Right, but anyway, I got up and I pretended I was real brave. Do you know the way you kind of do that thing and you get up and you pretend like you're not hurt because the girls were laughing because I'd fallen off the bike. And I walked around to a mate of mine with the bike, and I said, "You said you wanted to buy this off me there last week." He said, "Yeah." I said, "I'll give you a deal on it." I sold them the bike that afternoon, and I haven't driven a bike since.
Yeah, the same happened to me on the main street in my own village, and everyone knew me, and they all looking at me, breaking my heart. I flipped it.
The temptation to do these things on a motorbike, because of the need for speed, as they call it, or this temptation as a young man. I don't know. I'm sure it affects young women too if they get the disease. Let me just go if I can to Mark as well, because we've spoken to Mark before on the show. Mark, good afternoon to you in Ireland's Classic Kids. How are you doing, Mark?
Hi, Noel.
Mark, we've spoken to you on numerous occasions in relation to your own bike, and of course you organised the Biker Guard in honour of the two lads, sadly, who passed away on the M50 that time. And so, you know. I mean, did you ever get your bike back?
No sign of the bike's vanished.
Oh, okay, so it's gone.
I got a new one anyway, it's all sorted.
Okay, so we've an email here from a woman whose husband was into the bikes, not so much now, he still has a bit of a hobby in the garage, but the son now wants to get a bike and she wants to turn him off it. You know?
Yeah, I think she's right. He's too young for a road bike, 19 years of age.
So when is the youngest you would let somebody ride a motorbike on the road?
Well, no, I'll have a son myself, and he's 15, and he's into the bikes as well, through myself, but I won't be letting him on a bike till he's at least 30 years of age and the brain works properly.
Well, you won't have a choice. I know you're saying you won't let him on a bike till he's at least 30, but you won't have a choice in it once he reaches 19 or 20 years of age.
Yeah, no, I know. I do understand that, but I'll definitely let him know what I think, you know. They're very dangerous. The road's very dangerous. Motocrossing is a lot different than a road bike. Motocross.
Yeah, you're falling off onto a grass track or onto muck. Yeah.
Exactly. Or into a tree or something like that, or onto rocks or something, you know. But on a road bike, it's, as they say, one split second and it's all over, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it is. Because, as I say, you're limited. The protection you have, the only protection you have is holding onto a set of handlebars. That's
all you have, yeah, basically. And then you have everybody out there that's too busy on their Facebooks and WhatsApp and everything else. So it is, to be honest with you, it's very dangerous. Mm. Now, I go out on my bike regularly, but I don't be on it every day because the roads are just so dangerous, you know.
I couldn't even, I mean, Mark, as I said, it's 30 years more since I was 21. I'm now 59 the day before yesterday. So it's a long time since I drove a motorbike on the road. And I imagine there's probably twice as many cars on the road now as there was when I was driving, maybe three times as many. So I can imagine the dangers that are there now are a lot more than when I was there. So I can't even imagine how, because I even knew at that time it was perilous. Because you'd constantly be watching as you were coming to, you know, an intersection in the road to see was a car going to pull out, because you just assumed a car was going to pull out in front of you anyway.
So, yeah, of course. Well, that's the best way to drive a bike. Always presume it's going to happen and you'll be in a better place. Because if you just pull out at green traffic lights and all, sure, cars go through red lights all the time. Mm-hmm. You could end up being killed, you know. The bikes are very dangerous, and you have to be clever and know your stuff on the road. I'm a truck driver years. I know the road, I respect the road, and that's what it's all about. I've had bikes when I was 19 myself, 20, and came off them and broke my arm and done all sorts of things driving around on them like lunatics. But
over the years, Mark, have you lost many friends?
Yeah, I've lost a few friends on the bikes. Yes, I've lost a few from the 80s up.
Yeah.
Johnny Courtney, one people that I know that was killed on a motorbike. Yeah, and William Dunlop died right in front of me in Skerries in 2018.
That's right. Oh, so, that the Turvey what do they call that? The Turvey Straight, is it, or?
Skerries 100.
Oh, isn't there a race there that the Dunlops used to do as well called the Turvey Straight? Or not the Turvey Straight. What's it called? Well, it's one straight road.
No, I don't know that one, to be honest with you. But William Dunlop, Joey Dunlop, the professionals, it happens to everybody.
That whole family has been wiped out by motorbikes.
The best part of them, the only one left is Michael Dunlop, and he's the only one really racing now.
Yeah.
But the rest of them are gone, due to crashing and injuries. Bikes, as the man said before, they're very powerful. They can get up to great speeds.
And they can get up to those speeds quickly. I spoke to a friend recently who's just bought himself, and if we think the motorbikes of today are bad, the motorbikes of the future are worse. He's just bought himself an electric motorbike.
Yeah, and there's no sound out then, so nobody's going to hear you coming.
But the acceleration on it, it's not to 100 in 2 seconds or 1.5 seconds. It's just, what the hell? Yeah.
Well, my bike will do not to 100 in 3 seconds. It'll do 310 kilometres an hour. But I don't do it on it. I don't wheelie. I don't act the Mickey on the bike, because basically you have to respect it. If you don't respect the bike, the brown box is waiting for you.
And have you ever gone out, say, to, you know, a place specifically designed for testing speed, out onto a runway, a used runway, or whatever it is that they allow this, you know, place where there wouldn't be a speed limit to test your bike or to get that?
Well, you can do track days in Mondello, but that's basically the only place that does track days.
And have you done that yourself?
You have to pay for them. Yeah, I've done them before over the years.
And do you enjoy the thrill of the speed?
Everybody enjoys the thrill of speed, you know. Speed is good, but in the right places, speed is good.
Yeah.
In the wrong places, it's not going to end nice.
No,
you know?
It's devastating.
As you've seen what happened on the M50.
Yeah.
Them lads were no fault on that road. They just were very unfortunate what happened to them.
Unfortunately, they were in the wrong place at the wrong time.
They were in the wrong place at the wrong time. That can happen to any of us on bikes. Mm. So my honest opinion, he's too young. Another couple of years, get him to do his licence, get his IBT, get all his training done, buy him the gear, buy him the bike. Then when he's a little bit older, his brain will work a bit better and he'd be able to go on a bike. Like, it was 30 before I start going on the bikes, full license and everything, doing it all right, because I knew before that I've had a couple of bikes and I've come off them.
I would much prefer, if it had been any of my children, thankfully it wasn't, but if it had been my children who wanted to be into the bikes, I would much prefer they'll drive a car first to learn the rules of the road. Because at least when you're learning in a car, you have a better chance, if you do have an accident, of not dying.
Exactly.
When you're learning on a bike and you're learning how to deal with other drivers and the rules of the road, and you make a mistake on a bike learning, you could be doomed. That could be the end of it.
Yeah, well, there was a crash in Clondalkin the other day. A fella on a motorbike was coming out of a housing estate, and there was the bus lane and then the other lane. There was a bus stopped in the bus lane. He pulled out in front of the bus and a car ploughed him over. He went through, he ended up in the back window of the car.
Oh, gosh.
Last week in Clondalkin. If I'm ever in an accident, I know the majority of the time it will not be my fault. It will be somebody else's fault.
With the majority of motorbike accidents, it usually is the motorist's fault.
Exactly. Because, listen, us bikers are out there. We're out there a long time. We're on the road all the time. Yeah. We know the roads. Like, I know the roads inside out. But I could die tomorrow from somebody pulling out in front of me.
But as somebody who drove both, and obviously I raced the motorbikes as well, so I have a good respect for them.
But as
somebody who drove both, I can see why the majority of the time it is the car's fault, because sometimes you just don't see them. You know what I mean? You drive a truck too, so you have an understanding of that. You know, but I do find that people who have driven motorbikes in the past are better car drivers.
Oh, of course they are. Of course they are, because they're more observant. It's always forward planning, as they say. Mm-hmm. Always read the road ahead of you. There's no point in...
You're looking four or five intersections ahead all the time.
Oh, of course, yeah. And your eyes are all around you, 360 degrees, because you have to know what's beside you and behind you.
Yeah.
You know?
Mark, lovely talking to you. Thanks very much indeed. I appreciate you coming on the air. Okay, Mark's advice is try and hold him off for a few years. When he's a little bit more mature, he may think differently. Some of your messages, by the way, coming in.
Neil, you wind up, put her child on the back of your man's bike and told him to drive it like a, I don't know, whatever she said, but Jesus, she sounds like an absolute psychopath. Why would you put a child on the back of a bike with some lad and tell him to drive it as fast as he can? Of course you're going to be scared shitless. They're on the back of a bike. You have no control over it. It's a whole different story. That one's a lunatic. Absolute lunatic.
Well, I think she said she trusted the guy. Now, I don't know what speed he was travelling at or whatever, but she did say she couldn't trust him. I was in a very bad crash as somebody in Australia ripped the main artery out of my leg, shattered my pelvis. There was an Australian nurse at the scene and she put her two hands on my leg to stop the bleeding. If she wasn't there, I would have bled to death. That comes in from Patrick. That is shocking. Absolutely. See, this is what happens. And thankfully, you're okay. You're still with us, Patrick. But this is what happens on motorbikes. They are dangerous. You have to have respect for them. They are amazing, by the way, motorbikes. I loved them when I had them. And they are amazing. But you need to have respect for a motorbike and respect for the road. So how does this mother, whose son now wants to get a motorbike at a very young age, how does she stop him from wanting to do that? The number is 087-188-0008. I keep texting, keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008. Let me go to Terry. Terry, you're in Ireland's Classic Hits Radio. How are you?
I'm good, Niall. How are you?
I'm starting to forget where I was there for a moment. Terry,
to the best of it.
Yeah,
well, the moment.
Well, let's go back in time a little bit, because Ashley gave me just a little bit brief there during the ad break. But let's go back a little bit in time. But you were madly in love at one stage in your life, and you were getting engaged. Yeah. So firstly, tell us who it was and describe this wonderful gentleman.
All right. Well, okay. So he was 20. I was just hitting 18. His name was Philip. He was in the army and down in Collins' barracks. He had joined. He was a jeweller with training with Weirs up in Grafton Street, but really wanted to be in the army. And I'll never forget the day he came home. His lovely long hair was short back and sides.
Oh, okay. So
I saw his ears for the first time.
He was looking very military-like.
He was looking very military, but so proud of himself, so proud. He was a really, really lovely young man. And so he joined the army. He played he was very musical, and he played in the bagpipes for the army.
Okay.
He was one of their pipers. And generally, he came from a big family. You were talking about big families earlier on. I think there was 13 in his family.
Okay.
And they came from Finglas here, where I live. And we had been going out for almost 3.5 years, and it was September, and we decided to get engaged. And
did he get down? Did he get down on one knee? Yeah,
he did it all. He did it all, and now we didn't have the money for the big diamond ring. He gave me a promise ring.
Okay, that's fine, but I'm sure Weirs would have looked after him in the future, maybe.
maybe. So you know, we, as I say, he was a wonderful young man and very good person too. Mm. Like, he was teaching the kids and bringing us the bagpipes in his spare time, and had great faith and whatever. So he was, all in all, he would have been a good choice. And
so
I didn't miss him.
Yeah, so you had your whole life planned ahead of you.
Yeah.
Wonderful young man, this military man, had given you a promise ring and promised to marry you. And tell me what happened.
So we were up in the old Sheeling, which was up in Finglas, with all our friends and whatever. Philip had one pint of shandy. That was it. And in those days, they drank a lot more, by the way, drinking and driving, because we're talking about over 40 years ago. But because he had the bike, he had to go back. He was on duty the next morning. And I had wanted him to stay in my house. He walked the bike down as far as my house. And he said, no, I have to get back because he has to be up for duty. And off he went. And the next day, I'd only started a job over in Camden Street. And I was waiting for him to come and pick me up at 5 o'clock. And he never arrived. And half five, he never arrived.
To remind people, of course, there was no mobile phones in these days.
No mobiles. No way. I had no way of contacting him. Eventually, I got on a number 9 bus, and or a number 19, as it was. And I came home, and I walked into my house, and oh, my God, my mother's face. Oh, Jesus, Niall, I still haven't forgotten it. And my little brother, who was only about 8 or 9 at the time, came out, and he ran out, and he said, Philip's dead, Philip's dead, Philip's dead. And I... Oh my God, I can feel it now in my stomach here is just, because Philip is still very much alive, and although I met somebody else and I married somebody else and I have children with somebody else, my children know and love Philip. He's been talked about all the time in my house. They feel like they met him at some stage. They didn't, but that's how much he's still a part of our lives.
Yeah.
So anyhow, oh my God. I'll never, ever,
and what
ever
did, and
forget.
What did your mum say? She just said, I'm so sorry
so
for
what
you,
happened
an accident.
What happened was I got to work and the news bulletins were all out the next day. What I didn't know was Philip had died 10 minutes later after he left me.
Oh, no.
He was driving down through Bibsworth, going back to Collins's barracks. Whatever happened outside McGowan's pub. And the police never found out. They figure it was a hit and run of some sort. His helmet was found down as far as the Broadstone.
I know exactly where it is.
Bus station.
Yeah.
The house he actually died in was the house he was actually born in. His parents had lived in that before he went to live in Finglas, which was irony at the time, you know. And that woman had come out, and apparently that got the house from them, and
she came out onto the road to help him. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Waited with him till an ambulance came, but he wasn't alive at that stage. He wasn't alive. And we weren't allowed to see him in the coffin at any stage. His father and brother were the only people allowed to see him. So
you must have been... So here was the man that you had planned to spend, that literally had only just asked you to marry him.
Yeah. Literally. And I was only really so young. And to lose somebody so tragically and so... Oh, my gosh. Mm. I remember every bit of it like it was yesterday. And I, like, when I heard that woman coming on, my heart broke for her, because I have a 28-year-old son now, and thank God, Niall, he has never come and asked me, or said to me, I want to drive a bike. If he did, I would be like that poor woman. My heart would be in my mouth.
Yeah.
Every day he'd
like
go
my
out.
Like my mother, when I used to drive the bike, my mother was the same, yeah.
Yeah, because you've no protection, Niall. That's the problem. You have an accident on a bike, you have no protection at all.
No.
And
you're like a pedestrian travelling in the middle of the road at 80 miles an hour, whatever the hell you're travelling at. Because people on bikes tend to travel, particularly when they're young, they tend to drive a little bit faster than they should.
Yeah, and they're weaving in and out of traffic because they can. Yeah. They don't realise even what they're doing to drivers on the road.
Mm.
That frightens us when bikers do that.
Mm.
But a lot of the younger bikers don't realise the the terrible, terrible consequences of an accident.
And I know you're married now, as you said, with children, and very happily married with children, and all your family know all about Philip and everything else.
Yes.
But I suppose you still give him a thought every now and again when you see a bike on the
every
road or when you see him. Yeah, every day you think of him.
No, every day I think of Philip. Every day when I say my prayers, I always include him in the prayers.
Oh.
And, you know, and his family. And, oh no, I could never forget him, not for 1 minute, you know. Yeah, so,
I'm sorry. It was a tragic situation at the time. I know time is a great healer, of course, but it was a tragic situation at the time, and I can only imagine how you must have felt when you walked into that room, and then to find out that just after he had obviously proposed to you, that you had lost him 10 minutes after you had left him.
It was. And do you know how we found out? Because his identification wasn't on him, which he must have had because he was going back to the barracks. He needed his pass to get in. And then the next morning, they started giving bulletins out on the radio. And my mother always gave out about him because, now get this, Niall, nowadays, nearly every groom we see will wear a blue suit and brown shoes. Now, 40 years ago, blue and brown didn't go.
That's
and
right,
Philip
right.
wore,
yeah.
They didn't go. It didn't match. And Philip always wore brown jumpers and blue jeans.
Yeah.
And when they gave this out on the radio several times, it came to lunchtime and my mother said, oh my God, I'm going to ring in because that just sounds like Philip. And that's how
And what was it on like? Was it,
on,
it was on RTE at the time, was it on the radio?
It was
there?
on RTE radio. And they were giving out bulletins. On every news thing, they gave out a bulletin that a body, you know, a man had died.
Yeah.
And
so nobody was ever
identifying.
Nobody was ever convicted of it, or nobody was ever arrested for it, or it was never. See,
no.
That's what I was just going to say. Nowadays, it would be less likely for something like that to happen because there's so many cameras around and CCTV and dash cams and everything else. So it would be so less likely to happen.
But less likely, yeah.
Yeah, well, when I say less likely to happen, it's just likely to happen, but less likely.
It doesn't, exactly. And that's why I feel sorry for that poor woman, the worry she has. So maybe if she could talk him into a car, maybe they can help him buy the car, you know, maybe they can, I don't know, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
Let him see, bring him and show him. Do you know, Niall, about a week after Philip died, or 10 days, I never know till this day why, but the police delivered his mangled bike up to my parents' house. And
wow.
It was in the garage. We used to do newspapers, you know, so... We had a big double garage on the side of the house, you know, because we'd do the daily, the Sunday papers, you know, distribute them.
Yeah.
And there, the bike, and my parents didn't realise I went over to the garage and I actually saw the bike. And, oh my God, if you could show a picture of this to any young man that wants to drive a bike, I think it would put him off.
For life.
Because it was mangled. Whatever hit poor Philip mangled that bike.
And if it mangled the bike, you could only imagine what poor Philip was like.
Exactly.
You know? Yeah, yeah, that's
exactly.
terrible.
That's why nobody was allowed to see him. I remember
did they actually ask your parents? I'm sorry, I'm in a little rush for time here, but did they ask them, did they say to them, do you mind if we drop the bike up or would you just like the bike?
I don't remember why it was delivered to my parents' house. I really don't remember, but it was.
But I know it would be...
I can't even, you know, go back. My memory doesn't.
No, I know. I know. I know you all the details.
Listen,
thank you very much for sharing that story because if anybody's listening who was thinking about maybe getting a bike, it might put you off.
Yeah.
So, listen, thank you. Thank you for sharing the story. And I'm so sad. It's such a sad story, Terry. It really is.
Oh,
but look.
But there's worse out there in Ireland.
Yeah.
You know, and on a brighter note, we spoke before about the seagulls living on my roof.
I do remember that.
They're gone.
I do remember the seagulls on your roof.
Robert, they're gone.
Good.
My house looks like Fort Knox with all the wiring up on my roof, but they're
gone.
Make it this year.
At least it's not covered in seagull poo now.
So on a happier note to leave you on.
Okay,
Niall. And
Terry.
Best wishes and belated birthday wishes.
Thanks.
And keep doing what you're doing. Love you loads.
Thanks. See you, Terry.
Bye.
And thank you very much indeed for sharing that with us. What a really sad story. Oh, God. I'm way behind time now. I have to take a break. Back in a second. All right, keep texting. Keep WhatsApping. The number is 087-188-0008.
Hi, Niall. She doesn't buy it for him. Simple as that. Just refuses point blank to buy it for him. When he's old enough and he's working himself, if he still wants to buy it, out of his own hard-earned money, let him go ahead and do it. But the chances are he wouldn't be prepared to pay out that kind of money when he's paying it himself.
Yeah.
So she just refuses, point blank, to buy it. End of story.
Yeah, well, he's 19. Maybe he'll get a job fairly soon. Somebody says, oh my God, now what are you doing to us? I had to pull over. I'm a big fat or a big 6 foot only truck driver. And I'm bawling at the side of the road. I know. Terry's story was so sad. And I don't mean a story, because it's an experience and it's part of her life. Hi, Niall. My father drove bikes and my brother were always around. And around my brother, who bought a bike on the 8th of July, 1997. He had it only 2 hours and he drove it straight into a wall and he was killed instantly. His name was Gregory Hughes. Sorry, but I'm at work, so I can't really... I can't really talk. Tell that lady not to let him buy a bike. Thanks. Well, let's think of Gregory Hughes as well, sadly, who lost his life after only 2 hours on a motorbike. Hi, Niall. My mother, too, would wait up for my little brother until the day arrived he was taken from us. Gone forever. Bikes are lethal. Discouraging the use of bikes is well warranted. And somebody else sent us an email, by the way, who said that I think it was their brother as well had been killed on a motorbike, and they said they would have them banned if they could. And I couldn't disagree. They are lethal. They're absolutely lethal. You would need a huge amount of respect for a motorbike because they're so, so dangerous.
Real people, real opinions, real talk radio. The multi-award-winning Niall Boylan Show.